Thank you, Nicholas. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I missed some of the presentations this morning, but I guess if you listen to the bankers and the general community, it's all about too many ships, too many ships, too many ships. I guess for us, it's all about too much to scrap, too much to scrap, too much to scrap. I've been in this business for about 20 years, and always we were talking about shortage of vessels. I remember calling brokers and saying, hey, we are looking for ships, we are looking for ships. The time has come now when a broker calls saying, I have a ship, you'll want to hide underneath your desk because it's just too much out there and you don't know how to plan this ahead. What the main purpose, I think I'm going to focus here on, because this is a financial type session. I'm trying to come up with two things. Normally when you hear about ship recycling, there are probably people here who are familiar with ship recycling. For them, I apologize if I'm being a little redundant. But those who are not very familiar, I see this. There's a great deal of misperceptions. So in this 15 minutes that I have, I'm really going to stress on two things. Ship recycling, the general perception is it's bad. I hope I can clear that. It's not bad. And then we are talking about investments in shipping, in ship recycling. It's a good thing to invest in that. So really the agenda is about two things here. Let's begin. Most of you know this, so I'm just going to put very briefly two headlines. I mean, prior to 2008, it was all about new buildings. Nobody wanted to talk about ship recycling. The volume and the size of the order books, that's what people were boasting about, 1 billion and 3 billion and so forth. Now when you look at it, these are the kind of headlines we hear. You know, it's all about urges to boost scrapping. Every time I speak with anyone, it's about we need to scrap more, we need to scrap more and so forth. Just I think yesterday's headline, I was reading in the plane coming up here from Lloyd's List, saying up to 60 vessels on sale for scrap. And I think they took this from, we have a weekly that goes out every Friday, where I think we saw that almost there are about 60 ships standing at delivery ports in different parts of the world. And so that's what we are looking at. Now, I heard, I think, the previous speaker talk about 2.2, if I'm not mistaken, ships being built or ordered per day, or I forget what the exact quote was. In 2011, we averaged about of scrapping four ships a day. I think that number is increasing probably this year to seven ships a day. So hopefully we are able to balance that out a little bit by keeping that flow of scrapping. So we did about 1,200 ships in 2011. We hope we can do 2,000 ships this year. So we're talking about big numbers. I tell them we are like the McDonald's of the shipping industry, you know, just keep on making those burgers out, you know, sell them cheap. So no matter what business you are in, whether you're a banker or a ship owner or a trader or a charter or new building yard or a ship repair, I think in some way or the other you are connected to ship recycling. Because the more ships we can recycle and there's a good price to be paid for ships, for scrap, it just balances the world economies. So in a real small way, we are part of the, I think, of the solution rather than being part of the problem. Most of you know this, but like I said, I normally in these conferences, there's a wide mix of audience. You know, the different players, if you want to sell a ship for recycling, you have, of course, the owners, your brokers, then your cash buyers like us. I don't like the name cash buyer, but I don't know what else to call myself. So, okay, you know, we have cash buyers. Local reps, people, our own GMS is probably the only cash buyer. We have our own offices in all the major ship recycling centers. They are exclusive offices. These are the people who deal with the ship recyclers every day. We don't from our buying offices. And then, of course, the ship recycling yards. So really, these are the players you're talking about. Who are cash buyers? Again, we are not brokers, we are traders. We take title to the vessel, and for all practical purposes, for our owner, you are the buyer, we are the buyers. And we then, in turn, sell these ships back to ship recycling yards on letters of credit basis. We have a big thing coming, which is the fourth bullet down there, where the Hong Kong Convention has now labeled that cash buyers will become, will be called the ship owners. What that means is it opens up a whole bunch of legal implications to a cash buyer when it comes to delivering ships at delivery ports. So it's a pretty serious clause that the convention has come up with. And so I think we'll have to be a lot more responsible as cash buyers in what we do. We buy, I said earlier, we buy ships both on as-is basis as well as delivered. When we buy ships on as-is basis, we basically come to whichever port the ship is, whether it's in Tokyo or U.S., and we put our own crew, we reflag the vessels, and we bring them to delivery port. Whereas on delivered basis, it's the owners who normally bring the ships to delivery ports, and we pay them upon arrival. The interesting thing, as I said earlier, the ship recycling has a negative image. Most major players don't want to associate themselves with ship recycling. If I ask anybody with a show of hands, what do you think of ship recycling? Generally, in the media, you'll find negative images. The interesting thing is, I have an academic background. You know, I've done a doctorate and all that stuff. So when I went into this industry, I realized it's totally the opposite. It's a very green industry. You know, you have an industry where 96 to 98% of the parts are recycled. And when I say recycle, out of these parts, almost 80% are reused. When you say about reusing something, it's even better than recycling because you're not, again, using the resources. And yet it seems like when we talk about ship recycling, it's a very negative stuff. I've thrown some examples of stuff that is recycled. Of course, the biggest component on a ship is steel, but then you have many other parts that go out. You have only about 2% which is hazardous waste. As long as we can control, we can manage this hazardous materials, I think it's a good industry. Environmentally, these things I'm talking about, it takes almost four times more energy to make steel from virgin iron ore than ship steel. I was just reading Tradewinds before this speech, and there was an article on the Turkish yards, and they're saying the prices are low. You know, when you talk about ship recycling, you have India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, China as the four major players, and then you have Turkey as the fifth player. And in the interview, they said the prices are low because the cost of labor is high, the cost of disposing hazardous materials is high, and that means Turkey has to pay $100 per ton less. I disagree with that statement. I think the big reason why the Indian side pays such a high amount is because they reuse the price of steel. India is an importer of steel. The price of steel is very high. So when your revenue stream is very high, you can pay a higher price. So in India, the scrap that comes out of a ship goes straight into rolling mills. So it does not go into melting furnaces, which actually, you know, is you're removing one layer of cost element out of the picture. We're talking about what is green ship recycling. That's a new hot topic, green, green, green. And what really the Hong Kong Convention now has defined very clearly to us, for ship owners, for us as cash buyers, for recycling yards, for government institutions, everybody has some kind of a guideline to follow, and which is the Hong Kong Convention. And it's really talking about yards and how a ship is going to be recycled. I put some bullets down there. Most owners need to be aware of. It's really, bottom line is two elements, worker safety and environmental issues, you know, like that you're not polluting the environment. And if you can manage these two things effectively, you basically are practicing green ship recycling. What are the trends? What are the changes taking place? When you talk about green recycling, two countries take the lead, Turkey and China. Most major players prefer to go to China because of their reputation as a green yards. India has done an excellent job of bridging that gap. Almost 37% of the yards in India are now, you know, green certified yards. I think about a few weeks ago, if you probably don't read about this, but there were 17 member delegation that came from Japan. That included from the ministry, ship owners, and so forth. And they decided, except for MOL, was the only ship owner, Japanese ship owner, that was selling ships into India. They don't sell into Pakistan or Bangladesh, but sell to yards in India. The other ship owners did not. So the ministry is making a strong push because there are a lot of ships that are going to come from Japan, and they want these ships to become to come to India. So this delegation came down, is working with the ministry, is working with the government on how to develop more yards that can be effectively called green yards. So we see a big push in that area. China is the leading market already, and they have good practices down there. Pakistan has still a lot to catch up. That's unfortunately a market where not too many people, including surveyors, want to go for safety reasons. Bangladesh, after almost a year of on again, off again, on again, off again, is finally on with very strict guidelines from the Ministry of Environment on how to do green recycling. I think the world needs Bangladesh to come online, because without Bangladesh, it's really going to be a challenge to maintain this flow of inventory, supply of ships that is coming into the market. We have a program which is in collaboration with GL, with Oli Cash Bayer, who came up with this, because there's a great deal of interest in this green recycling, where we bring GL on board and they come in and look at these yards. They prepare the ship recycling plan. They do the inventory of hazardous material on board the ships. They audit the whole ship recycling process. And after 2 or 3 months, when the ship is recycled, they give you a nice little book that tells you that, Mr. Ship Owner, your ship was recycled properly, and here we confirm that we audited the process. We have had owners who have already gone with this process. It is very detailed. It's a huge report that goes through. It's a good thing. So owners who are concerned about that, banks that are concerned about their CSR, their corporate social responsibility issues, you don't have to sacrifice money. I'm not against Turkey. We sell into Turkey as well. But this $100 per ton that you have to sacrifice, you don't necessarily have to do it. Or the sacrifices within Europe because you feel it's not going to happen effectively in the Indian subcontinent, you don't have to do that. That's an excellent endorsement, because it's not me saying it's being done right. It's not the yard that is saying it's being done right. It's one of the IX class society telling you it has been done right. I have thrown some slides. I think Nicholas normally uploads this thing up on our websites in case there is of interest, you know, how GL does what they do. But I'm going to move on instead of reading these bullets. Opportunities in ship recycling. One of the interesting things I'm finding, since almost for a year now, the role of cash buyer is changing significantly, both in the markets on the supply side as well as on the demand side. Let me tell you, on the supply side, we all know there is lack of money in the shipping community. And so we find pretty good ships that are being sold for scrap. I mean, in a normal course of business, these ships would not go for scrap, but they are. I mean, I'll tell you, about 3 months ago, we scrapped a 2007-built bulker. And to me, when the owner first gave me the ship, I thought, wait a minute, is he trying to steal money from the bank? So I was very cautious, you know. Why are you scrapping a 2007-built vessel? And so, you know, the quality of ships have increased dramatically. There are ships that are sold in auctions. And it's strange, when I go to these auctions and I feel it's going to go for trading, and I'm the only bidder. I mean, recently we saw in Singapore a chemical tanker got sold. Twice they canceled the bid, and both times, you know, I was the only bidder. Finally, they had to sell. So the role, you know, we are finding new ships. What we are also finding is that as cash buyers, we are starting to occupy that position which is the small ship owner used to occupy. I mean, right now we have ships that we have bought and given back on bareboat charter. We have ships where we have financed and taken mortgage on. And unfortunately, for the first time, I had to exercise my mortgage on a ship in U.S. I don't want to be in that position again. But, you know, so we are playing strange roles. We are becoming part bankers. We are becoming part ship owners. We have to be out there finding solutions, because there are all kinds of interesting proposals coming in. I had one of my traders, we call them traders who buy and sell these ships, came to my office one day and said, today I'm buying 12 ships en bloc. And I said, 12 ships en bloc. So he had he was negotiating two blocks of six ships each. And it's amazing to buy 12 ships in one day. So that's the kind of stuff that is happening out from the supply side. From the demand side, we are in the business of what we try to say, demand management. Because the volume of ships are so large, and sometimes you have deals that are failing, and they come back, and the prices are dropping by 5%, by 10% every time the deal fails. How do you drip feed these ships into the market? Because in some ways, we are like the gatekeepers. If the ships suddenly come in, and 100 ships into the market, I mean, the prices would collapse right away. So it's a very challenging, I think I've been doing this for 20 years, probably it's great time to be in this business, but at the same time, it's also the most challenging times because trying to maintain the balance between demand and supply has become extremely difficult. We know this. There's more ships to come. There are different theories. Some people tell me that I'm going to be busy at least for 1 year. Some people tell me I'm going to be very busy at least for 2 years. It depends on industry sectors, you know, because we are buying everything. From rigs to containers to tankers to LNGs, well, not too many LNGs, but okay, LPGs or whatever you have. So there's always a sector that is going through some cyclical downturn that keeps us going. So we're going to be busy, that's the bottom line. Prices, they keep on going up and down. One thing for all the ship owners in this room, let me tell you openly, this has become a market of today. If I give you a price today, it's a today's price. Tomorrow it can be you know, up 5% up or down. We never keep our offers open until the next day. In the past, it used to be very common to keep our offers open for 2-3 days. It's just because the price volatility is incredible. It's a true commodity business right now. We know this. I've put the slides in the past. At least more than 2,500 more ships to go. Again, this is not my research. It's out there. You can look at it, how many more ships there are to go into this market. Financial opportunities. I have about 2 minutes left, so let me very quickly come to the financial people in this room. The interesting thing about our business is, like when you finance a new building versus a ship for scrap, is that our business is dependent fully on price of steel. So if you want to look at your stop loss, your downturn, or whatever you call it, you just look at, you know, what price you think steel is going to remain. For example, the price in my previous slide, I don't know if you looked at it, the price is still about $480 per ton for a ship for scrap. That's pretty good. I mean, with the supply of ships, it should really be around the $300 mark. But the only reason why it's still being held there is because steel prices are still good. So as long as steel prices are good, the ship recycling yards are still willing to pay a pretty decent price for this vessel. So if you're thinking about investing in ship recycling, the thing to look at is steel price. If you feel steel is going to remain strong, the price residual value of your ship is probably going to remain pretty strong. Simple formula, no rocket science there. The other good thing about investing in ship recycling, it's a very liquid asset. In other words, you buy a ship and then within 1 month you turn it over. I mean, you get your money back. You have a very clear exit strategy. So it's not like, I'm going to go into this, I don't know when I'm going to get my money back. You know, you can define your exit strategy into 30 days, 60 days, whatever period you're most comfortable with. Again, I talked a little bit about green, and since I'm keeping eye on the clock here, because one of the things I find amongst in the financial community, people who are not as familiar with the ship recycling, is what they call in the business headline risk. And I think the headline risk is once again defined because of all the negative image. But if you start looking at ship recycling from a green perspective, I think instead of calling this as a headline risk, it's actually a headline opportunity because you're involved in a very green program. Role of GMS in what we do, it's our job. I said earlier, examples of what we do from buying ships to charter back and all that stuff and even financing and taking mortgages to find solutions. So I've always looked at that as a way to move forward. So if somebody wants green, we have a lot of government clients who come to us, say we want it green, we want it done right, and we go through the process. We have two Suez Maxes from the European government, for example. We are giving them weekly reports of what's happening on these ships. They want that. They want that involvement to ensure that there is no negative role that comes in. GMS, I have to give a one-minute thing of who we are. We have offices. I'm a U.S.-based. I'm a U.S. citizen. We have offices in U.S. I spend a lot of time in Dubai, and, of course, we have an office in China. So these are the three offices which are doing the buying part of the ships. And then we have all the local, what we call sales agents, offices that do the recycling part. We are ISO certified and all the good stuff. In terms of volume, I used the word McDonald's earlier. We are definitely very big volume players. Depending on the year and the month, at least a quarter of the world's fleet, we can say we probably recycle it. Sometimes the figures go up to 40%. So very, very busy time for us, but it's always good to be here. So thank you all. Nicholas, do I stay here or do I leave? Nicholas? I'm open if there are questions. I'm here for the full day if anybody wants to catch me if time's short. Oh, there is a question? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Carlene Leidenkloss with NAMEPA, North American Marine Environment Protection Association. There was recently an article in Tradewinds about asbestos on ships that were coming forward for recycling. This has come as a bit of a surprise in some cases because the use of asbestos on ships was supposed to be banned. How are you addressing that in your green recycling program?
Excellent question. We still deal with some very old ships that have asbestos. So the first thing we have to do is what the Hong Kong Convention is telling us is do the inventory of hazardous materials. And now most major IX class societies, they have their own surveyors who are qualified to do that. And so as long as you have an inventory of hazardous materials, it tells you exactly if there's asbestos on board, what's the quantity of asbestos on board, and where does it exist. So you have that, and that is done by some surveyor. Then the convention says that the ship recycling yard should have the capacity to handle this. So if there's about 30 tons of asbestos on board, they should have personnel that is trained to remove this. They should have the facilities. I think there are those, because I've seen those chambers, there's a special asbestos handling units on most of these yards. And so the ship recycling plan has to be in place, which matches the what we call the facilities management plan, that the specific yard has the capacity to handle that. So we start with inventory, we go with the ship recycling plan, and the facilities management plan that shows that this 30 tons is identified, removed, transported, and disposed of. And in India, for example, there's a government facility disposal of hazardous materials, including asbestos. So they issue a receipt showing that this 30 tons they received, the yard has to pay for this, and then how they removed. And this facility also is certified. I forget what certification they have. But so I think it's a relatively simple process because taking a ship apart is not rocket science. You know, it's just going step by step. As long as people do it properly, I think it can be done. All right. Thank you again.